The Lord God omnipotent reigneth.
Yes,
and he delivered 2 million people through a dry sea to a promised land. Isn't God good?
Yeah.
Long comes this nobody carpenter's son, or so they thought. You can use the Jews' test, or man's test, or God's test, and he proved himself to be the deliverer who saves his people to heaven forever.
That's right.
He's the God who hath delivered, now delivers, and shall deliver.
Amen.
Hadn't we heard some good preaching?
Yes, sir.
Old Paul, he was there at that Stephen spot. He saw that man's face look like an angel. I don't know what it looked like, but I bet Paul never forgot that. It made point here that there was somebody from Cilicia there in that group. And it made the point that whoever was there taking the forefront and doing the arguing, they couldn't withstand. They couldn't dispute with that Stephen filled with the Spirit. Who do you think that could have been, might have been? I bet old Paul Saul of Tarsus had some haunting memories. I bet he saw a smile on Stephen's face when Stephen saw Jesus. What do you reckon? Then all of a sudden this Jesus knocks Saul of Tarsus down, shows him who he is. Oh, wretched man that I am, I sure am thankful Jesus is my deliverer. And Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, said to Jesus that day when he learned who he was.
Yeah.
And what he had done. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do?
Right.
Here's the follow-up sermon for what you've heard thus far. May the Lord bless us. I want to preach to you a sermon this afternoon that I would entitle From Phileo to Agape. Y'all was smiling till then, wasn't you? What is this goofball talking about? I don't know Greek, but I know a couple of Greek words. I know phileo and I know agape. Not like if I'd been born in Greece and grown up talking that way, but I get a little idea of what those two words are all about when I study God's word. Phileo to agape. Phileo, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. A love for friends and brothers, and you know that good feeling you have with one of your buddies. That's phileo. It's great. It's a good love. But it ain't agape.
No.
Nobody knew agape until Christ came along.
That's right.
It probably had not even been much of a Greek word to then. It's a love that we don't have a word in our English language to describe. That's why I need to do a little Greek with you this day. And you may leave here saying that's all Greek to me. I hope not. I want you to know a couple of Greek words when you leave here today. Phileo and agape. Agape is about as tall above phileo as the top of the Empire State Building is to the bottom. It's a whole different kind of love. It's a love that our language doesn't have a word for. That's why sometimes it's translated in our Bible, charity, and sometimes it's translated into the English love, and neither one fits exactly. Why, in that talk in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where it said, if you give away everything you have to feed the poor and have not charity, well, I thought that was charity, God.
No,
oh, no, there's something more to it than giving away your stuff.
That's right.
Oh, that's good love that'll give away your stuff. But that's still not hardly agape some way.
No.
Or you can do that without having agape some way. Or still, we hadn't reached agape some way when we give away everything we have to feed the poor. We still hadn't hardly found what that word means. It's more than a feeling, but it's more than just a doing. I've heard it said that love is love, Christian love, agape love is doing love. Well, you can do that, and you still didn't have agape some way. Agape is what Jesus had when he went on the cross and what he felt and did for you. That's agape.
Yes.
Agape is totally, totally willing to get rid of self for somebody else that you love that much. That you die on an old rugged cross, spend 6 hours in agony because of your love. Greater love hath no man than that.
Amen.
That's agape.
Right.
Let's get to a text. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's begin reading. In verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Why, you'd think we're there. We're climbing this ladder, it's a good ladder, and we're getting gooder the higher we go, and finally we've got to godliness. Surely that's the top rung, Lord. I'm there now, aren't I? No, you're still not at the top. You got two big steps to go after you get past godliness. What is godliness? Well, the definition in the dictionary, you look it up. It's reverence. It's holiness. It's piety toward God. Well, that's all you could ask out of a man anywhere, isn't it? If your faith has brought you to that level, where you're now recognized as godly. No, you need to still add something else to that. You need to add brotherly love. You need to add phileo to godliness. And unto godliness, brotherly kindness. That's the word in the Greek, phileo. Add that. Love that brother. Be friends with that brother. Do good for that brother. Add that to being pious toward God. Add love for the brother. Well, that's about God. It doesn't. I forgot that one. That's right. Jesus said it that way, didn't he? Jesus said two great commandments. Love God and then love your brother. Well, that's what Peter said. So we're there now, aren't we? We've got reverence. We've got holiness. We've got pious toward God. We've got godliness. And now we've got love towards brother. And surely that's as far as Jesus went. I'm not correcting Jesus in this. Please don't get me wrong. This is something Jesus taught too. Yeah. But Peter went a step beyond love God and love brother. Peter said, add to that phileo, and here's the Greek word, charity. Add to brotherly kindness, charity. That's agape. Yep. If you take that in our English understanding, you might say, well, what you're supposed to do with that brother you love so much, you're supposed to give him your stuff and help him with that way, and let your love be action love. And that's good, and I like that, and I'll take that if I didn't have something better. Add to it your willingness to die for that brother, or for that God, or for his cause, or do whatever he'd ask you to do. Lord, what do you want me to do? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to climb this ladder and end up on that top rung of agape. It's Peter's challenge. It's Peter's achievement in and of himself. He did it. It's his challenge to you and me for us to do it. Get that high on the ladder. Get to the top rung. Do this life agape. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That your knowing becomes doing, and your doing becomes real. Yeah. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. To get agape requires re-seeing the cross. Amen. Over and
Amen.
Over.
Yes, sir.
And over and on again and again, constantly. Keep looking to the cross, and the climb is easy. If you see him hanging on the cross for you. It's easy to love somebody did that for you, is it not?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Even to this level of love, that I'd give up everything, but I'd give up my life, myself, my all, whatever means anything to me in this world. But I'd sacrifice it all if Jesus desired it, if it would do him glory. Get there by re-seeing the cross over and over. Don't become nearsighted, says Peter. Wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in this present truth. Yea, I think it meet, it is suitable, it is fitting, it is proper, as long as I am in this tabernacle, as long as I'm still alive in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. And we stop. Peter. He had claimed it a long time ago. Back when he was a younger man. Back when he was a prouder man. Back when he thought he was a man. He said, Lord, in Matthew, all these
yes, sir.
May forsake you and walk away from you and not stand with you and show their lack of love towards you. But I, not me, I will die with you, though all men forsake you. though nobody else would, though everybody else might not, I will. What's he claiming? He's claiming agape. He's claiming agape.
Yes, sir.
He's claiming a sacrificial love for his friend, but it goes past friendship. It goes past phileo. I'll do agape for you. That's his promise. That's what he's all but sworn to. Jesus said to him, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times before the cock crows. I've prayed for you. Satan desires to have you that he might sift you like wheat. I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen the brothers. And Jesus goes with him, and Peter just sitting there scowling, shaking his head. No, not any way that'll happen to me. Can you see the scene? You know the story. It's a disgraceful story to a man named Peter. The opportunity comes. He's warming himself to the enemy's fire. He's close at hand. He's got his chance. He claimed he'd do it. Let's see it, Peter. A little girl. Who's afraid of a little girl? Well, I've seen some pretty tough little girls now. Don't get me wrong. There's any little girls in here. Don't meet me in the parking lot after this is over. But I'm not trying to pick on little girls, but look like this brave man's willing to die. Wouldn't have been afraid of a little girl. What do you reckon? But she said, I thought you was one of his buddies. I don't know him. Never heard of him. Don't want anything to do with him. I'm adding a little bit there. Along comes a second maid. Now, 2 girls, that is tough. But he's willing to die, so what? 2 girls kill him. It'd be kind of embarrassing. But he's worse than embarrassed. He's scared to death. I don't know his name. Another one comes along, maybe about an hour later, and said, you sound just like one of his. You're from that part of the country. We recognize your accent. And we know all you guys up there hang together. Are you with him? I don't know his name. I swear. And he sets into a string of cursing. And I think what he's really doing there is drawing down God's curses upon himself. That if he does know him, if he's lying about this, may God kill me. Well, that's his problem. He doesn't want to be killed. His curse is not even consistent with his actions. His fears have overwhelmed him. And in Luke's version, at that point, Jesus turned and their eyes met.
Yep.
Jesus ever looked at you? Mm. He looks at me every once in a while. Not like that. I guess I've never felt that guilty or that bad, though I've committed sins perhaps much worse. He had the curse of looking at God right about that time. I don't know if that's the right word to use. He'd probably taken that curse upon him at this point if he could just take this away. It's too late. It's been done. You've said it 3 times. His Lord and Savior, who is just about to die for that sin and many others, looks into the eyes of Peter. And it said, Peter turned and wept bitterly. Exceeding great sorrow. His courage is still not back. He stands afar off. And I got a feeling he looked up every once in a while at Jesus and looked down a good bit of the time at himself. At his own feet, into his own heart. He's a proud, proud man yesterday. He was willing to die a hero, and now he's run in the midst of battle. He's betrayed his friend. Is that love of any degree? From phileo to agape. That's where Peter's headed. He may not know it yet, but the Lord's not through with him. He perhaps thinks the Lord's through. He's gone fishing again. He could never use the likes of me again. Deja vu all over again, Yogi Berra. I'll give credit to Primitive Baptist preachers or good ball players. It's deja vu all over again. He's out there in that boat and they've had a bad night of fishing. He's had a couple of those here lately, hadn't he? 1, 2, or 3 years, about 3 years ago maybe, when they didn't catch anything and the Lord brought them. I'll tell you what, he borrowed in that story. I don't want to get off my stories here. In that story, Jesus borrowed a boat for about long enough to preach a sermon and returned 2 boatloads of fish to a fisherman. Then Peter says to him, Jesus said to Peter, come follow me. And Jesus borrowed a life. After borrowing a boat, he borrowed a life. And Peter said, what about us? We've given up everything, followed you. He said, those that have done that, they get eternal life plus in this world 100 more fold, 100 times what they might have got. But that's a different story. So Peter's been through that story of having a borrowed boat and a load of fish and all this good stuff and the bad night of fishing turned out fun. And here they are in that boat this time. There's 7 of them in there and they've had a bad night of fishing. And on the shore, can you see the mist coming up off those waters? And you can see, but you can't see. There's somebody over there. And who is it? He hollers, but they don't recognize the name. Have you done any good? Have you caught anything? Oh, not at all. We hadn't caught a thing. Lo and behold, in just a bit, there's 153 great big fish in that boat. And Peter's out of that boat and swimming for shore. He knows who he is. He's seen this before. It's deja vu all over again. And he comes and there's his friend. Or he used to be my friend. I still think of him as a friend, but I don't know what he thinks about me. Have you ever had a haunted conscience? Where you didn't want to face your sins or the ones you'd sinned against? Here's Peter, can you see? Poor guy. Poor guy. Poor pitiful guy. Jesus has got a good fish dinner there. They eat and then here comes the dreaded moment. Peter, you ever a principal in the school every once in a while tell you, Jeff? Need to talk with you for a minute. This is worse than that. In the school situation, I knew it was coming. Kind of expected it, and maybe Peter did too. Peter, I need to talk to you for a minute. Let's go there. Let's go to John chapter 21. So when they had dined, verse 15, John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now here comes the importance. I'm not trying to impress you that I understand a couple of Greek words. Here it's very important to understand a couple of Greek words. Lovest thou me more than these? Which word? Agape. To me that takes out some possibilities on the interpretation. I've been told in sincerity by people that what he really asking, there's Peter. This is a guy like me that really likes to eat. He said, what he was really asking? Peter, he said, Peter, you love me more than you do this fish dinner? I love fish dinner, but I've never seen one I'd be willing to die for.
Right.
That sort of takes that out of context. He's not talking about the fish dinner. He's talking about Peter's previous claim to agape love.
Amen. That's right.
That's what Peter reclaimed. Lord, I love you more than these, pointing to all those other men who did love Jesus, but Peter says, my love exceeds their love. I love you more than anybody. I love you enough, I'll die with you. That's the first question. Jesus cuts right to the quick. You said it. Now say it again. Do you love me more than anybody? Agape love, willing to die for me kind of love. Is that a description of your love, my friend? Lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.
Yep.
You've got to know the Greek. And it's not too hard. Get you a Strong's Concordance and look it up. You know that I phileo you.
Yeah.
Whoa. Peter doesn't even claim agape.
Right.
He knows better. He's been proved wrong in that. But he asked the Lord at least to acknowledge this for me, please. I am here still your friend. I still love you that much. Give me that. Give me that. I beg you, give me some peace of mind. Acknowledge that to me. I do love you like a friend loves a friend. You are my friend. I didn't prove it. And I can never claim agape. I know that. Give me phileo. Do you understand the word now, why it's important? It goes on. It doesn't stop. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. There's a bit of relief, perhaps. He's not through with me. I can still preach to children. a preacher with a burn in his bones, he'll take a bunch of kids. He'll give me a bunch of kids, Lord, and I'll preach my heart out. I'll take it. But Jesus isn't finished. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Still agape without the comparison clause.
Yeah, right.
You've said you love me more than anybody loves me. Do you love me more than these men love me? Well, all right then. You've answered with phileo. I'll just ask you straight out. Can you claim agape at all? Not compared to anybody else. It may be the weakest agape that's ever been agape. But can you claim that you love me with any willingness to sacrifice yourself for me? What's Peter's answer? He saith unto him, Yes, Lord, I understand your question. I get what you're saying. It hurts bad, but I accept it. But I answer you with these words. You know I love thee, phileo. You know I am your friend. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? You probably have a feeling what Jesus has done in spite of having maybe never looked this up. Jesus has asked on a high level and a lower level, Do you love me, agape? In both situations, Peter has answered, I love you, phileo. I love you, phileo. And then Jesus asked the worst question that he could ask at that point. Peter, do you love me, phileo? Jesus digresses in the questions from more than anybody to at all or even as a friend. His heart is crushed. He probably wishes he had died at this point 1,000 times over. Peter, do you even have a right to claim me as a friend? Can you claim that much fondness toward me? The third time, Simon, son of Jonas, phileo thou me? He says that time. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Phileo thou me, lovest thou me? He used the word phileo that time. Is Peter grieved because of the repetition that he's asked me 3 times? Maybe so, I'll take that. But I think what really grieves Peter the most is the word phileo this time. Because he asked me the third time he said, Phileo, not even agape. The third time he questions even my friendship. And he grieves in his heart and he's crushed in his soul. Peter, do you even love me, phileo? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. I won't allow you, even God, to take this away from me. You know I love you as a friend. He still says as a friend. You've made me eat my words on agape, and I have no defense to put up, but I will not withdraw my expression of friendship and my feeling for friendship, and I'll claim that love till I die. Okay. Feed my sheep. Listen. Verily, verily, truly, truly, surely, surely, most certainly. I'm going to tell you something now, man. I say unto you, when you were young, you girdest yourself and walkest whither thou wouldest. You put your own breeches on like a red-blooded Jew. Went where you was going to go and did your thing when you were a boy. When you were a young man, you did life your way. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee. That isn't putting your britches on. That's being bound to a cross in death. How do I know that? And they'll carry you where you wouldest not and where you didn't want to go a few days ago. It's going to happen. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Was that a blessing or a curse to live under? I say it was both. And I'm not crossing my fingers because I've been told already you're not supposed to do that here today. That's the worst kind of sin, one from the pulpit. I'm trying to show how two things can be together. A blessing and a curse. Peter knew from that moment on how he was going to die. He'd be crucified, and there's nothing, I guess, worse to anticipate than the certainty from the one who is truth telling you that's how you're leaving this world, my friend. But how was that a blessing? Peter knew on God's authority, on the word of Jesus Christ, that he'd do it next time. Isn't that cool? Well, it's not cool, but it is. You know how we're all mixed up in this world. He knew he'd finish his course to the honor of Jesus Christ. And it's almost as if he has one last choice in that command, follow me. Did he? Yeah, he did. He read ahead. That's all right. Acts chapter 2. It's time for somebody to stand up. This man stands up. His name is Peter. He said, you have by wicked hands taken and crucified the Son of God, whom God raised, having loosed the pains of death, for it was not possible that he could be holden therewith. You've killed God's Son, and God's got him back, and he's looking down on us right now. What are you going to do about that? And they are pricked in their hearts and say, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he tells them these words, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. In front of the masses, the multitudes, the friends and the enemies, those that love him and those he hates, or those that hate him. He knows the name Jesus Christ. That's the name he couldn't remember a few minutes ago, wasn't it? I don't know who he is. Don't ask me his name. In Acts chapter 3, there's that man laying begging. Along comes Peter and John. Buddy, can you spare me a dime? Ah, silver and gold have we none. How about you? You got anything? Ah, it didn't stop there. Silver and gold have we none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. Isn't that awesome? Right there in front of everybody, he knows his name. The coward's got courage. Those who strove among themselves are united. And they're united around the name of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, they're called on the carpet. It's the same named men, Annas, Caiaphas, all their family, all their henchmen, all their buddies, all the bad guys in the world. Well, not all of them, but there's enough of them to get the job done. They got the job done with Jesus. We got a question for you, sir. The court would like to ask you, in whose name is this man, this leaping fella? You know he's leaping. It says he's standing there with them. Isn't he awesome? He's up now, and he says he's leaping, and he's standing there with them. They can't deny it, because there stands old Leaper right there with them. In whose name was this man that's standing here with you? He said, if that's the only question you got, that's an easy one. In the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. And by the way, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you might be saved. He knows his name. In Acts chapter 5, they've called John and Peter back in. And old Gamaliel, he's a wise man, he is. He says, you know, boys, let's think about this a little bit. If this, you know, these other two guys, they've come through lately. One of them out of nothing, the other out of less than that. I'm adding a little there. I'm doing that in my way because I'm wanting to get to this part right here. But if this man be of God, who are we fighting against God? You reckon this man, Jesus Christ, was of God? We still here today, a long ways from Jerusalem.
Right.
A faraway place in a long time since. Still talking about that name of Jesus,
right,
aren't we?
Right.
I think it was something. I think this guy was something. He wasn't like those other two, amounted to nothing. He's amounted to something. The gates of hell can't stop this man. And Peter and John, Gamaliel says that. Said, I guess you're right. You're a wise man. I don't know if he's a good man, but he was a wise man. And they agree with him, but they're not still satisfied. They whip John and Peter. They beat them soundly just for the fun of it, I reckon. They can't stop. If we can't stop you, we can whip you anyway. We got that much power. And they whip them soundly, and you know what it says? Peter and John left that whipping.
Rejoicing.
Amen. Amen. That they were worthy to suffer for the name. He got his name down, didn't he? For the name of Jesus Christ. For all Peter knew, those same men that had crucified Jesus had told him it was coming. It's going to happen sometime, but he didn't give him a date, I don't guess.
No.
If he did, it's not recorded. Peter said it could be today, but Jesus said, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Where was Peter now?
Mm.
He'd made it, hadn't he?
Mm.
He had proved himself, his love. He had grown from being just his friend to being able to die for that name, for that man. Peter's achievement was rising even past Phileo,
yeah,
which is past godliness, which is way past just having faith. But Peter arose from, Lord, you know I'm your friend. And Jesus said, follow me. And Peter proved that he was beyond a friend, that he was willing to die. And you remember where we quit reading? He's writing this letter now, and something about the situation, he knows that he's really coming to the end, and he's got one last chance to write one last letter. And it's a challenge to those that he wrote it to, and it's a challenge to you and to
Amen.
Me. Men and brethren, what would you have me to do? Lord, what would you have me to do? Climb the ladder. Don't stop at godliness. Don't stop at love for your neighbor. Climb all the way to dying for Jesus Christ if you ever get that opportunity. It's a great challenge. Peter said, the Lord told me it was coming. And I know it's about here. And I'm about to get to prove it. What a day. To hang on a cross for Jesus. Would you do it? Peter said he would and he didn't. And then Peter did. Life's a growing. That faith might grow on into virtue and virtue on into patience and on into temperance. But don't stop growing.
Amen.
Don't even stop if you get to godliness.
Yeah.
Don't even stop with loving God and then loving neighbor. It may come to a point in this very land we live in where we get to prove agape.
Yeah.
It's a challenge to all God's children to be ready for that moment and to be willing to die for the one who died for you. God bless you.
Old Peter needed some relief. He didn't get it right off. It took a while, but he got it.
Amen.
Part of that was in the doing and being obedient. Doors of the church are open for reception of members. Come and submit yourself to the command of Jesus Christ to be baptized and follow Him in the paths of righteousness. We're going to have a handshake during the song. We're going to come and all the elders, if they're still here, will go wrong, gone in to come up and let folks shake your hands. Then we'll have dismissal and a break before supper tonight. Supper's at 5:30. Did you call it a
308?
308. Then after that, we'll sing 309. It's right on the same, right up under. May stand if you wish. We're going to let this side come first, file back down the middle, and go back into your spot. And the same way with this side, we'll come out this way and then go back that way and file into your spot. It works if we do it right. 308. May stand if you wish. Praise the Lord while we sing this.
I set my Savior and looked on His face, was full of His glory and shining with grace. His love was enduring. And rest with my Savior.
what number?
370.
370.
There is coming a day
when no harm. That will be.